All right, tonight we're looking at 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 to 16. And I've titled this, with the same measure that you meet, whether it shall be measured to you again. I'll read our verses. It fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Would you be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she has no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, you, man of God, do not lie unto your handmaid.
Sorry.
That's okay. The first seven verses from the last study of chapter 4, 2 Kings, sets the tone for the rest of the parables about God's provision that is supplied in Christ or of Christ or through Christ, who was symbolized by the man who died in 2 Kings 1:4. Leaving his impoverished wife, who represents the church prior to Pentecost. Each of those phrases, in Christ, of Christ, and through Christ, are the same Greek word, Christos, and mean the anointing or unction that God has placed upon the body of Christ. The word unction found in 1 John 2:20 is related to this word and explains how God is able to accomplish all that he does through the church, through Christ's body. Ephesians 2, verses 6 to 7. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, so that we're Christos. Ephesians 4, 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So God is giving us that spirit, we're growing, and he's blessing us with that, if we remember from earlier studies, a double portion, which represents the complete work that God's going to do through the witness of Christ in each of our lives. But each joint is going to supply, and the Lord's going to build the body up through that process. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:2, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in Christ, in the body, in that day you will know that I'm in you, you're in me, we are in the Father. That Christos, that anointing that keeps us together, that makes it possible for all things to work together for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Luke 24, verses 48, 49, and you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. So we know that represents the body of Christ, and that power, those two men represent the body of Christ and the power that God gives them, the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. 1 John 2, 20, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Colossians 1, 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. 1 John 4, 2, hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So that anointing, the Paracletos, the Spirit of God within us. Romans 8, 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Colossians 1, 27 tells us that. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Speaking about the work that God is doing within the body of Christ, but also without, because we know that all things work according to the counsel of God's will and is for our sake. So all power, God has all power to finish this work within the body of Christ. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you, which is what he's doing to the body of Christ today through the church, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So it's a mystery to the Gentiles without, and it's a mystery to our flesh until the flesh is put off, and then the veil is ripped, and we go from glory to glory, and we realize this is the Lord's work. We are his workmanship, and it's being accomplished through God's Holy Spirit. There's that word Christos, G5548, which G5547 from 5548, which is anointed, and that word is charisma, and unguent or smearing, it says. So, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm getting that confused. So G5548 is from G5547. Is that right?
They're both from.
Oh, they're both from. Okay, okay.
Unction are both from.
Okay, I see. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so those two words are both from G5548. Elijah's coming into the life of this woman whose circumstances are described as such. Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. So that was her circumstance. It's a parable of how we need the Comforter to come into our life to lead us into all truth, represented by the oil that is going to be provided for her and her family after she obeys the direction of the prophet. An obedience that tells us she is a type of God's elect who are led of the Holy Spirit into the liberty that is found in Christ. Give Luke 6, verse 38, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with it shall be measured to you again. So that's the title, and that concept eluded me for years, but God's telling us that when we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, when we do that and in our service toward each other, loving the body of Christ, loving our neighbor as ourself, that's when things work out. That's when God sees that we take no care or thought for the morrow. We just roll up our sleeves. We realize Christ's has got it all in tow. Carry our cross, die daily. Then if that's our mindset, if God gives us to have that mindset and we follow him, knowing that he's the only one who can accomplish this because he has all power over heaven and earth, with that mindset, that's the measure. With the same, that's the measure we want, that the mind of Christ, for with the same measure that you meet, with it shall be measured to you again. So however we meet the world and how we treat our neighbor, God will bless us and strengthen us. And somehow every day we get through the day with all of our afflictions and all of our persecutions and tribulation, they don't go away. But God manifests through the body of Christ, through the Holy Spirit, the means by which we can continue to endure. And this isn't a newsflash. It's something we know, but it's something we bring each other into remembrance. And then this verse tells us the same thing. Malachi 3:10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. That's working out your own salvation. That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough. So going to that storehouse, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's bringing a tithe into the storehouse, presenting yourself a living sacrifice. For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we can do that. God can give us the strength to present ourselves a living sacrifice, give our whole life and rest in that and be grateful. Know that he will finish that. He wants us to have that confidence. Galatians 2:4, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. So this is why we stand fast. We become that buckler for one another with Christ in us. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now the Lord is that Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:17, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The measure of oil that she has is not enough, and it will only multiply through her diligence, which typifies that zealousness of Christ in our lives as a peculiar people who are zealous of good works. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both the will and to do of his good pleasure. For with the same measure that you meet, whether it shall be measured to you again, reminds us that if we are granted to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, we will be bringing all the tithes into the storehouse, meaning all our life will be focused on these commandments of which Christ tells us there's none other commandment greater than these. So we will be helping bring in the tithe of others' lives. We'll be used of the Lord as a result of suffering and going through this life and being obedient unto death, bringing the rest of the world, bringing the rest of those tithes into God's storehouse. Bringing all the tithes includes being part of the process of saving the world, in other words, and bringing that latter harvest into the storehouse as well. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And these are just verses with the word peculiar or some variation of that. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So zeal is something that we don't always think of it, but zeal is a byproduct of repentance. And that's what God's doing. He's working with us. He's leading us on the repentance. We're not despising the process of being cleansed because we know we're putting off the flesh and we're learning to trust the Lord. For behold, the selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge, and all things you have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. So that's the zealousness of this peculiar people that God is fashioning for that very reason. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure, peculiar people, unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So there's your two groups. Two, God is just perfecting the life of Christ and his saints first for the rest of the world. Psalms 135, verse 4, for the Lord has chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. God has set his love upon us first. That's all this is about. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. So mercy, as we read in Romans 9, I think it is as well, where God is showing that mercy to us now upon the Israel of God so that we can show it to the rest of the world. The opening verses of this section of several parables speaks of a great woman who represents the churches that forges a relationship with Elisha, who is a type of Christ and his elect, that leads to her being given a child of the Lord, who, like the man in the earlier verses, dies. In this case, however, the child is restored again as a type of the elect who are given life through God's Holy Spirit. It took Elisha coming into her life to ultimately bring about the blessing of the son, which typifies how God's Holy Spirit must come into our lives so a man-child can be brought forth and mature. Sorry about that. Matthew 17, verses 11 and 12. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. In Revelation 12, 5, and she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was cut up unto God and to his throne. The first verse, it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. This constraining of Elisha to come in and eat bread, and she constrained him to eat bread, is typical of our desire to have Christ sit with us and teach us. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God, which you did send, come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And this is just Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking, this is the spirit, this is the intent, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So this child, this man-child can be born, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Job 37:19, teach us what we shall say unto him, for we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. We need that teacher like Ethiopian eunuch saying, how can a man learn unless he has someone teaching him. So we learn from each other. We grow in grace and knowledge through Christ. Luke 19, verses 5 and 6. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. This great woman is giving him what she can of her own and being blessed to have this relationship with Elisha. Acts 20, verse 35, I have shown you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is all reminiscent of Abraham's actions towards Christ. And Abraham hastened into the tent of the Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And that brings us back to this verse. It's saying the same thing. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Abraham talking to Sarah, Christ talking to the church, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew near unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed and brake it, and gave it to them, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Jeremiah 15, verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So God gives us that desire to constrain Christ, to cleave unto him and to his words. And then we're blessed. Our eyes are open when we receive that bread of life. Then our heavens are open. God's rest is symbolized by the city Elisha passed to. He passed to Shunem. This woman's desire to provide for Elisha typifies the zealous spirit that we need in order to be overcomers as Christ was in this life, which is how we enter into that rest. Our Father's business within us is called his workmanship. And through Christ, we are providing for each other what we need, both physically and spiritually in this life. So that word shunem is there. It means quietly. And then it breaks down to that next word, rest, quiet. Luke 2:49, and he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my Father's business? And what is our Father's business? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And we know Christ has another fold, so that's God's business too, but we are the focal point as the body of Christ. We've become the apple of God's eyes for the sake of all of the world. We know it's just the order that God is doing things. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Because if we're doing that now, we will be doing it in the future. We'll be providing that spiritual meat for the rest. And this is just, again, another way of saying, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God's good pleasure for us to just continue to labor and feed the sheep and the lambs and take care of one another. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. And that's God's call, but we want to beseech the Lord, keep us hungry and humbled and thankful for this incredible blessing that we've been given to to be able to gather together and have so much storehouse, so many studies, so much fellowship, so many prayers have gone up for each other. And I mean, God makes our walk difficult because he knows that through Christ, we can endure through it. He will get us there. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest together, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The labor is key, because when we labor, we move forward, and the Lord gives us strength, and we help each other. We bear each other's cross. But whoso has this world's goods and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? So it's not just the prayers, it's being mindful of the need. And we are. This is a very generous, loving group of people. And that's what God wants. That's what he's forging within the body of Christ. That's our discipleship, part of it. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 9. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. This perception that is given to the great woman further confirms for us that she is a type of the bride of Christ, who has been given spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear. Christ is the holy man of God, which passes by us continually. You know, just like Satan walks in and out through, he walks through the earth, Christ walks by us and he never leaves us or forsakes us. Christ is that holy man of God and provides for us what we need on a daily basis so that we can live abundant lives in him. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that, of course, is Satan. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Verse 10, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he comes to us, then he shall turn in thither. A bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick symbolize what we need in Christ or through Christ in order to live godly lives of contentment, which is great gain. God is the one who provides the undefiled bed in our life where our relationship of love thrives with Christ. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Ephesians 5, verses 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He also provides a table, which represents where we eat at an altar that the world cannot eat at this time. There is also a stool where we can rest, because we have been blessed to be risen with Christ and seated in heavenly places where we find rest and peace that passes all understanding through Christ. The candlestick is symbolic of the light of Christ and the spirit of the church that is in the hand of God, telling us that our salvation is completely, 7, secure in him. It is a little chamber for us today as the Lord teaches us to live godly lives that are content and not despising the day of small things. All of these spiritual items are on the wall and are required for that wall to become great and high within the body of Christ. So here's the candlesticks, of course, Revelation 1:20, the mystery of the 7 stars, which you saw in my right hand, which represents Christ's power, God's power, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks, which you saw, are the 7 churches. John 10, verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand that's holding those candlesticks. Zechariah 4, verse 10, for who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. Those 7, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Luke 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And that's such a, it takes a miracle, of course, but we don't know what's going to come on this world. So the blessing that we have for God is to bring us to see, well, then where is my focus? My focus should be on the body of Christ, the provision that's here within the body of Christ, the safety within a multitude of counselors, all of those things that God has provided, and the miracles that we are blessed to see as we pray for one another, and the discipleship, of course, all of those things are working together so that we don't have to be any longer the Gentile that we were. We were laboring for our food. We were laboring, not that we don't have to labor, but we were trusting in our flesh to resolve these issues. So God is merciful to bring us back and say, this is where your strength lies within the body. Revelation 21, 12, and had a wall great and high. And this is what it leads to, and had 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And all of those 12s represent Christ in us, that new foundation that God is forging in the body of Christ today. Verses 11 to 13. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Would thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. Christ comes into our life at an appointed time that was written in our book. And so we see these words, and it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. That reminds us that when that day comes, we will find rest as a result of God's Spirit abiding within us, symbolized by Elisha, who turned into the chamber and lay there. This is where he lays, as Christ lay and rested in the hull of the ship, always wakeful over his disciples and ready to bring peace that passes all understanding after the storms are raised and calmed by his hand. Matthew 8, verses 24 to 26. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So that's, of course, Psalms 107 in a nutshell right there. Philippians 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This great woman who represents the elect church is called and stands before Elisha to receive a blessing of him for her works done unto him, which typifies the blessing that we are called unto in this life, both now and in the first resurrection, for the works that God has done through the true bride of Christ, to Christ, in each other and to our fellow man. So we serve each other in that regard, and God says, that's just another part of the blessing to be able to learn that it's more blessed to give, and that discipleship is forged through Christ. And it's for the world's sake, but it's what we're doing for one another now. It's for our sakes. Gehazi, his servant, represents how the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth, that gives the vision of who Christ is through the church. Gehazi, his servant. The reward today and the eternal reward of God to the elect comes as a result of God mercifully giving us that vision that we need through the church, which is Christ's body. Where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. That's the law of Christ. Even if it were the law, it's not talking about the law of Moses. And if it were, we should know whenever we read anything talking about the law of Moses, it's a type and shadow of the spiritual law of Christ, which is one that tells us to bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Gehazi, there you see Gali, a visionary. His name means that. His name typifies someone who is a visionary. And of course, Christ is the one who is our visionary. He is our vision. Without his eyes and ears, we will not see and we will not hear. This great woman is a Shunammite and tells Gehazi, I dwell among mine own people, telling Gehazi that her blessing is to be amongst her own people. And that's reminiscent of what Ruth says. She said, and Ruth said, entreat me now, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. So Gehazi, where was I? I dwell among my own people, telling Gehazi that her blessing is to be amongst her own people. And being a female inhabitant of Shunem, which means rest, is more symbolic language telling Gehazi that she already is resting, Shunem, in the Lord. So yes would be the answer to would you be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host. Because in type and shadow, she already has audience with the king or to the captain of the host, both referencing Christ. As a type of the bride of Christ, we learn this of her. Say now unto her, behold, you have been careful for us with all this care, with emphasis on the point that she had been careful and caring toward Christ as such was blessed. And this is what Christ tells us here. And it is of God, but it's still written for us to remind us that these are the fruits and this is the reward. And the world will say, well, why were you rewarded? Because God had given us his spirit. He had forged that relationship of love within the body of Christ. The king shall answer and say unto them, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So, you know, I was thinking about that. There's none least here. So who is the least? John the Baptist is the least. The world is the least. Not because God looks down and spits on people like we spit on him, because he sees all flesh for what it is. It's a definition of flesh. The least is greater than John. So we're not the least. Christ is not divided. But when he says, the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Whenever we do anything, when we love our neighbor as ourselves, we sit with the publicans, we have a whole world in front of us to care for. And we do that. I know we do that as the body of Christ. But that is of God. He's given us that spirit to care for everybody. We do good unto all men, but especially unto the household of faith. That's what that's saying. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. And we all should clearly remember, that's our former conversation, and we're working our way out of that. We realize, you know, I could have been more kind, more patient, more gentle. We ask the Lord when we see it, just Lord, make me a better servant, make me more patient, and he will bring you the circumstances that will grow that love and that care and that mind of Christ, which is what this is all about. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we you hungry or athirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto you? And as we just discussed, it's everywhere, wherever God gives this opportunity unto all men. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of these, of the least, you did it not to me. So Christ is breaking that boundary, saying, you know, don't get out of that holy huddle. And he says, well, you don't do any more than the Gentiles when you just salute your own. So he's really shaking the tree here, because those religious cultures were they were self-centered. We all were in Babylon. It was our group. We were the ones. And everyone else, well, we'll tolerate them, but we didn't and we couldn't. We just can't love the way Christ has called us to love without his spirit. That's the lesson for that part. Verses 14 to 16, and he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she is no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, I shall embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto your handmaid. Like Abraham, who was old and well stricken in age, the Shunammite's husband was also old, and her husband is old, telling us that the birth that is going to take place is symbolic of the supernatural birth that we have in Christ. It is not dependent on our strength. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. That just lines up with this same verse. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's the miracle that this is typifying, this miracle of being born again. We are called of God, typified by the great woman being called of Elisha through Gehazi. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. When we are called of God, we begin to realize our powerlessness over sin that lies at the door. But because we are given the power to stand through Christ, we can give an accounting of our life and confess our faults and overcome through him who is the door that we stand upon. She stood in the door. Lord willing, we continue to abide in Christ so that this calling becomes one that purifies us and strengthens us through our trials so that we endure unto the end. Genesis 4:7, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? And of course, we're accepted through the beloved. And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. We will, through Christ, we will rule over sin. Malachi 3:2, but who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's salt. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? And the answer to all of this is, only Christ can be Christ. He will stand through us. We will be accepted through him. And the world will come to know that. Of course they will. They will know that everything was by the hand of God. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Because God knows we're guilty of all. We're all the chief of sinners. And he has just blessed us to see that we stand through Christ. Matthew 16:18, and I say also unto thee, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Just referencing back to Genesis 4:7, same idea. John 10:7, then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And Numbers 14:9, only rebel not you against the Lord, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us. their defenses departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So we really need to be armed with the mind of Christ, know that these persecutions are going to come, be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove to mitigate them and reduce them as much as possible, but just to know how to deal with them when they come. So be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove, and beware of men. Christ was aware of his circumstances. And I think we all are with the Spirit of God. We walk into this world every day knowing that the Lord is with us and he wants us to know your adversary is there. The lion is in the street, but Christ in us is a far, far higher than those powers and principalities that we come up against. Even with the promise given to us by the servant of the Lord, and he said about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. Like Sarah, who doubted, she and Abraham, being old, could have a child. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being also old also? So also the great woman, who represents the elect, will only be convinced over a period of time that all these exceedingly great and precious promises apply to us, including the promise that nothing is too hard for the Lord, including his giving us the faith to be persuaded and convinced that nothing is going to separate us from his love. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come. Is he persuaded, or has Christ persuaded him? We're to be persuaded through Jesus Christ, and he brings us to that place. He makes us see, oh, this is the work of God. And we are to be persuaded of our teachers. I was persuaded. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't persuaded of those who have taught me and how we've learned. And we've tried the spirits regardless. We still try the spirits. But the Lord is bringing us to that place of persuasion of what the Lord is doing. And it has to be that way. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, which is in the body of Christ. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. These words, with the same measure that you meet, with it shall be measured to you again, should have a great impact on us when we consider that God is the one who is measuring the temple that we are, so that we grow in our ability to believe, so we can do the work of God in this age. What is it in John 6, 28, when he was asked, they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom you have sent. And that's, of course, accomplished in the power of God. And there was given me a reed like a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and then worship therein. That's with the same measure that you meet, whether it shall be measured to you again. That's what God is doing through us, of course. He is the one who's measuring us with the measuring line in the hand of Zerubbabel, who represents Christ, who is giving us that increase. It comes by way of his judgments, his measurements in our earth. Then John 6, 28, I read that. Zechariah 2, verses 1 and 2. I lifted up my eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. May we be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. So that's coming through that measurement, through that judgment. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure again of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Zechariah 4, verses 9 to 11. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. We all despise the day of small things. We all don't recognize the depth of those promises and the words that Christ says, many are called, few are chosen. That's the natural status. We want the big church. We want this. And God says, no, it's an uncomely branch. It's small. And that's to his glory. He starts small. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice eventually and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven represent, of course, the seven stars, the seven angels, the seven spirits. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth, running through all the earth. And finally, Isaiah 26, verse 9, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me, I will seek you early, again, because of God's judgments that are upon the body of Christ. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. So the inward application, of course, we're learning righteousness through judgments, but ultimately the world will learn of Christ's righteousness through the body of Christ. And that's our study. I hope you were blessed by that. Thank you for a second.